Welcome to Journal Club for November 17th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. Imagine you're at the grocery store, at the self-checkout aisle. You scan your items one at a time. Boop. Boop. Everything's going fine. You scan your pasta. Boop. You scan your bell peppers. Boop. You scan your oat milk. Boop. And then you scan this little frozen, individually wrapped breakfast sandwich thing. And nothing. You try to scan it again. Nothing. You flip it over, look at the barcode on the underside, and see it's all stretched and warped because it's printed on the part of the plastic wrapper that's bending around the edge of the sandwich. So you try to kind of pry the area flat with your thumbs while you flip it back over and press it against the barcode scanner. Boop! Success. Or, worst case scenario, you call for help, someone comes and keys in the item number, and you move on with your day. This little annoyance was, for you, so minor and inconsequential that you probably immediately forgot that it happened. In fact, you might have felt a little sense of accomplishment that you fixed the sandwich and got the scanner to work. Either way, no big deal. For you. But the crux of what you just experienced is a big deal in the world of logistics. We don't actually know how many barcodes exist, but estimates are that about 10 billion or so are scanned every day. And many of those aren't being scanned by humans at self-checkout, no. They're being scanned programmatically inside of production facilities and supply chains. Barcodes are critical infrastructure for many of the massively scaled-up systems we take for granted every day. Your checked bag gets loaded onto the same plane as you because of a barcode. Your Amazon package arrives on time because of a barcode. The nurse at the hospital is able to give the right medication to the right patient because of a barcode. They're indispensable. And for the systems that rely on them, the inability to scan a barcode quickly and easily is not a minor annoyance. It's a big problem. It slows systems down. It makes systems break. It gets things lost. When barcode scanning fails, huge systems fail. This is one of the reasons that 2D barcodes, including QR codes, were invented. They don't just allow you to fit more information than a traditional barcode. 2D barcodes actually store information redundantly, spread around the image specifically so that the code can get damaged or occluded, but still get read. These are called error correction techniques, and they represented a huge leap forward for systems that rely on barcode scanning. But they're still not perfect. Scanning failures still happen, and they're still costly. This is one of the reasons that the QR scanner on your phone is most likely not just a deterministic reader. There's most likely a little ML involved. ML is used to figure out what part of the scene or photo has the barcode at all, and to orient and extract that code so that it can be passed to a reader library to do the actual decoding. It's an interesting area for ML to exist in, because in many ways, if you're building this kind of scanner, you need to pull back and stop short of making it entirely ML. You actually don't want that. Because remember, with a barcode, there is only one right answer. The barcode is deterministically decodable to one and only one thing. That answer is correct, and any other output is incorrect. So this is not the kind of area where you want probabilistic reasoning. You don't want a computer vision model to try to extract the meaning of the barcode. You don't want ML to decode it, because ML might say, hey, most of the barcodes that look like this in my training set decoded to ABC, so the answer is ABC. You don't want that. You only want the ML to say, based on my training, I think the barcode is most likely right here in this photo, skewed at this perspective, rotated this way, etc. I told you all this to make one thing clear. In the title of this paper, when the authors say they've developed a, quote, barcode detection algorithm, it's dangerously easy to misinterpret what that means. The authors did not invent a new algorithm that takes a barcode and decodes it into text. That, for all intents and purposes, is a solved problem. There are plenty of libraries for that, and in this paper they use two great ones, ZBAR for one-dimensional barcodes and ZXing for 2D barcodes. This paper is not about creating alternatives to those libraries. In this paper, they train a machine learning model based on YOLO and make a series of modifications to the system to upgrade it so that it can identify the presence and the location of barcodes more efficiently. All of that, their new system, is what they're calling their, quote, algorithm. I don't think that's a particularly good choice of words. I think it's unnecessarily confusing to call their contribution an algorithm, but it is what it is. So, how did they develop this new system? What did they start with? What upgrades did they make? And how did they train? And what were the results? Let's dive into all of that. They started with Yolo V8, a single-stage object detection model designed for efficient and fast object recognition. Its architecture consists of three primary components: the backbone, the neck, and the detection head. The backbone serves as the feature extractor, processing raw image data to produce rich feature maps that emphasize important aspects of the input, such as edges, shapes, and textures. The neck is responsible for feature fusion, taking information from different levels of the backbone to combine spatial and semantic details into more refined representations. Lastly, the detection head predicts bounding boxes and class labels based on these fused features, outputting the final detection results. Together, these three components enable Yolo to achieve real-time performance by streamlining the detection pipeline, avoiding the slower multi-step processes of two-stage detectors. The authors upgraded the backbone by integrating the efficient VIT block, a specialized component designed to enhance feature extraction without excessive computational overhead. The efficient VIT block replaces the traditional softmax-based self-attention mechanism with linear attention, which scales linearly with the input size. Linear attention is particularly beneficial in scenarios like barcode detection, where high precision is needed under constrained resources. Additionally, the efficient VIT block incorporates depth-wise convolutions, which focus on spatial local information, and group convolutions, which reduce redundant operations. These changes ensure the backbone efficiently captures barcode-relevant features while remaining lightweight and fast. For the neck, the authors made improvements aimed at better feature fusion and reduced resource consumption. They replaced standard convolutional operations in the C2F module, a key feature fusion mechanism, with the Ghost module, which generates feature maps more efficiently by producing ghost copies of intrinsic features through linear transformations. This reduces computational cost while maintaining the quality of feature representation. Additionally, the A-Down module was introduced for downsampling, a process that reduces the resolution of feature maps while retaining essential details. The A-Down module employs grouped convolutions and lightweight operations to further decrease computational demands, enhancing the neck's ability to fuse features from various scales without sacrificing accuracy. The detection head received upgrades to improve efficiency and accuracy. The authors opted for an anchor-free design, which avoids the computationally expensive process of generating multiple anchor boxes for each object. Instead, the head uses grouped convolutions to share parameters across the head's layers, which reduces redundancy. The decoupled structure of the head allows separate branches for predicting object locations and class probabilities, improving both precision and recall. To address the challenges of imbalanced training samples, where certain examples are easier to detect than others, the authors integrated the focaler CLOU loss function, which dynamically adjusts its focus on harder examples. To train the model, the authors constructed a dataset of about 2,700 annotated barcode images sourced from various online repositories to ensure diversity in types, orientations, and environmental conditions. They used a number of data augmentation techniques to expand the set even further, including cropping, rotation, noise addition, and contrast adjustment. For training, the dataset was split into three subsets: 60% for training, 20% for validation, and 20% for testing. The model was trained for 200 epochs using SGD, the stochastic gradient descent. The authors employed momentum set at 0.937 to accelerate convergence and smooth weight updates, effectively reducing oscillations in the optimization trajectory. Weight decay, a regularization technique with coefficient of 0.0005, was used to penalize large weights and prevent overfitting, thereby improving the model's ability to generalize to unseen data. The learning rate was initially set to 0.01. This allowed for significant progress in the early training stages while ensuring stability as the model approached convergence. The authors also utilized batch normalization, processing data in batches of 16 images to stabilize learning and efficiently utilize computational resources. The training pipeline included advanced loss functions, such as the focaler CLOU for bounding box regression and distribution focal loss, DFL, for classification tasks. So how did this new architecture perform? Well, compared to the baseline architecture, the improved model achieved a 1.8% increase in recall and a 1.9% improvement in MAP, that's MAP 5095. You might be saying that everything I just described is a whole lot of work just to get 1.8% more recall. And it is, unless you're at scale. Let's keep in mind the type of entities that this kind of research is useful for. It's not you and me. It's not the developers of individual QR code scanning apps, or even the companies that make the scanners and the self-checkout lines. This research will probably mean nothing and have no value for the vast majority of even the largest businesses. But for the scaled-up logistics juggernauts out there, the individual manufacturers, the shippers, the trucking companies, the delivery services, this 1.8% increase in recall could represent a meaningful part of their overhead and their cost structure, and could therefore have a significant impact on their bottom line. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.